every preacher's life when she must decide whether to preach the sermon written for the day or deal with the horrors of the week. Very late Friday night, it was really very, very early Saturday morning, I realized the essence of the sermon that I had planned says what we need to hear. We need to hear that we can be grateful to be in a community of faith, this community of faith, that we can be in the church, this church, in this time of horror and sorrow. Grateful that we come together to sustain one another, to speak words of comfort to one another, to hear words of hope, to hear words of love. With those thoughts, let us begin this sermon with a silent prayer, a prayer to invite the Spirit to be among us, with us, and within us. Let us pray. Amen. Several weeks ago, after participating in a Torah study group on the passage from Deuteronomy, I got so excited about the contents of the text that I went straight to Katie and I said, I would love to do a mission moment for the stewardship time. And the more I told her about the content of my excitement, she realized that what I had to say was way more than just a moment. And she suggested I preach on the scripture. At the same time, I want you to know who has influenced this sermon. The truth is, I want to give credit where credit is due. Reverend Dr. Walter Brueggemann was my professor for what I now call Hebrew Scriptures, what was, way back then, called Old Testament. Dr. Brueggemann also taught me the Hebrew language and several other very important classes that made a profound impact upon my own theology. The second person that has influenced this particular sermon is Rabbi Arthur Wasko, who is the facilitator for our Saturday morning Torah study group. And that group offered insights as well for this sermon. Our Thursday morning Torah study group, consisting of six women who gather to try to understand how the Torah speaks to our lives today, that group also opened my eyes to more meanings for this passage. All that said, let's dive right into the scripture for today. As Todd said, it's Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. Dr. Brueggemann loved this scripture because he felt that it was the synthesis of the story of the Israelites, and the response that they were to have upon sharing that story. The story was to be told each harvest time, every harvest time, when the people were to bring the first fruits of the land as an offering of gratitude for having arrived and being able to live in the land of milk and honey. The text says, "When you have come into the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it, and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land." This text starts out with a command, injunction, mandate, call it what you will, that people are to bring the first fruits of the land to God. The text continues by saying that you shall put it in a basket and go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling place for God's name. The scripture starts out with how we are to express our gratitude for all that God has given us, the first fruits of our land, of our lives. Well, very few of us plow the land and plant the seeds and tend the plants, then harvest the plants. So then what are our first fruits? The most probable answer would be the paycheck are the results of our labors. One member of our Saturday morning Torah study group thought about her own garden that she plants each year. And she described the thought of planting that very small tomato seed and nurturing that seed into a plant large enough to produce a good-sized beefsteak tomato. And how much she would want to take a bite of that first scrumptious tomato. And then she said, but that tomato really should go to God to say, thank you, God. The truth is, we cannot quite take that tomato directly to God. And if we were to read the next section of Deuteronomy, we would see that the first fruits were to be taken to the priest, who in turn would give the food to the aliens, the widows, and the orphans, so that they might eat. Back in those days, the widows and orphans had no one to care directly for them, much less their being able to plant, nurture, and harvest their own food. The widows and orphans were understood to be the vulnerable ones of that society. Also, I want us to note that the writer of this text places aliens even before the widows and orphans. It hit me as Todd was reading today. The word alien is used three times in the text he wrote. The aliens were the sojourners, the guests, the refugees of that time. We too are to be sure that the refugees are not only fed, but made to feel welcome into our midst. While we cannot take that tomato directly to God, we can ask ourselves, what are our first fruits? When we make our grocery list for the week or the month or whenever we shop, the first item on the list would appropriately be whatever we are going to pick up at the market to bring to put in the basket here at church for the food pantry. A side note, the produce that was taken to the priest also fed the priests as well as the aliens and the widows and the orphans. The priests were set aside for priestly duties and had no land of their own to farm, so they received bounty from the land from the rest of the people. In this day and age, we pay our religious leaders since we do not farm our own land. But I have to tell you that I was partially paid in eggs, green beans, and zucchini in the first church I served, because that church was set in 95% agriculturally based community. My point, though, is that we are not only to feed the most vulnerable of our society, but we are also supposed to take care of our pastors. Okay? Another brief note about bringing our first fruits to God. A member of our Thursday Torah study group, who is a rabbi, noted that the basket in which the first fruits were to be brought was a basket of woven reeds that the people made expressly to bring those first fruits. When she said that, I immediately thought of the woven basket that we have here at TAB to receive the food that we take to the food pantry. It's appropriate and symbolic that we place our food in the woven basket each week. We often have that basket here in the sanctuary throughout the Lenten season when we are focused on feeding the vulnerable people of our neighborhood. And as you can see, we have the basket here today to remind us to bring our gifts of thanks, our first fruits, to God. Bringing our first fruits also means that when we make out our personal budgets each year or each month, we are to put our donations and gifts at the top of the page, not at the bottom of the list with the leftovers. We are to write that check to the church and our charitable giving first, not last. Now hear me clearly, I'm not saying that we are to give everything to the church or to the charities. We are to be reasonable. But when we figure out how our budgets are to reflect our lives, we are to consider God first. It's a matter of setting priorities, asking ourselves, where does God fit into our lives? Rabbi Sheffa Gold says it beautifully. Hear her words. Our ritual of offering is a way of acknowledging a truth that can sometimes be obscured. The truth is that our bounty comes from God, and we can connect ourselves to the source, big S, as we receive her gifts. That connection is even more precious than the gift itself. Again, let us note that the information about bringing the first fruits to the place where the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling place for God's name, and I can say that we should trust that God's name dwells here in Tab. And it is our way when we bring our offerings for saying, thank you, church. That bringing of the first fruits is an important opening for the core of the scripture. The reason that the first fruits are to be brought to God is one of gratitude. Gratitude for all that God has done for our lives. The second center part of this scripture is the story that Dr. Brueggemann says is the synthesis of the story of the Israelite people. When they were to bring their offerings, their first fruits, they were to tell the story of their lives as a community of faith. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor who went down to Egypt. And those ancestors were few in number, but became a great nation. But the people were afflicted and treated harshly. The truth of the matter was, they were enslaved. But the people cried out to God, and God brought them up out of enslavement, saving them, bringing them to the land where they were a free people to work the land to feed not only themselves, but all who lived in their midst. Dr. Brueggemann said that not only are the first fruits important, but equally important is the telling of the story of gratitude, the story of one's relationship to and with God. He says we must tell our stories now. Tell what God has done for us and how we are in relationship to God. I wish I could count the number of times in the 3 years I was in seminary that Dr. Brueggemann said that the telling of the story is extremely important for many reasons, but primarily as a reminder of the gratitude we have for the work of God in our lives. We're to tell our individual stories, just as Angela and Lucinda and Megan did on the week that the church focused on joy and justice. just as Katie has shared with us so many times, just as many of you have told your story throughout the time that we have been here. You've heard a great deal of my story, or many stories, in the past. But I want to tell you one, another part of that story which relates to this time of stewardship and of bringing our first fruits. The last semester I was a full-time student in seminary, I was working two jobs, one half-time job at a local church and a fourth-time job in the seminary library in order to pay the rent, put gas in the car so I could go to work, and yes, to put food on the table. However, I realized that I needed only one course in order to be able to graduate in May. And it did not make economic sense to me to stay another whole semester for one course. But I could not take that course and work two jobs and be sane. I prayed and I prayed about what to do, as well as sharing my dilemma with two people not even connected to the seminary. And in the end, I said to both of those people that if I'm going to live out the faith that I'm called to proclaim, I need to quit one job so that I could finish school and become the pastor I was called to be. So I quit the library job. Yes, with some fear and trepidation. But throughout the semester, every other week, I received an anonymous monetary gift in my seminary box. Just enough money for food for the 2 weeks. Someone had become the hands of God. So giving of the first fruits of my labor has always been very important to me. And the telling not only of that story, but the story of my journey and my walking with God has been important. Let me get back to the stories that were told several weeks ago. The synthesis of those stories is that we realize joy in the life that we have together and in worship. The joy we realize in gratitude. The joy we find in acts of love. The joy that we see in the children and the joy that they bring by simply being a part of our community. Our faith stories are those of people who have found a safe, loving place to be and to worship. Our faith stories tell us how God has led this congregation through the process of being more light and open and affirming. Our faith stories tell of our working for justice in our community, our state, our nation, and the world. And my friends, those stories bind us together in the love of God. And we must continue to tell those stories over and over and over. We need to tell those stories in gratitude for all that God has done for us individually and communally. Lucinda told me that Tab is starting a storyboard for the website, a place where each of us can tell our stories of faith and hope and love. So I invite you to see Jim or Lucinda about telling your story. At the same time, this scripture that Todd read does not end with the telling of the story. The text is enveloped in the story of bringing the first fruits, telling us that we shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Did you hear that word, celebrate? Celebrate as we bring our offerings. In this stewardship season, we are not only to tell our stories of gratitude, but first and last, we are to bring the first fruits of our lives, the offering of our very lives, in gratitude for God's love expressed in so many ways. Those first fruits must include I sharing that love with the aliens, the widows, and the orphans, the most vulnerable of our community, our nation, and world. I'm really grateful to our two Torah study groups who helped me see this text with new eyes. I'm deeply grateful to Dr. Brueggemann, who not only taught me the importance of this passage, but also revealed the beauty of the scripture and invited me to live it. I am grateful to this faith community known as Tabernacle United Church. So now, I invite you to bring your first fruits that others might live. I invite you to tell your stories of gratitude for how God and this community of faith has brought love into your life. I invite you to say, thank you, God. Amen.